Good evening, everyone. Glad to see you. Glad to see you this evening. Hopefully everyone had a happy Thanksgiving, giving all thanks to God for that good turkey meal that you had. And you have some leftover that you probably made some turkey salad or something like that, right? All right, so tonight we're not having turkey salad. We're having God salad, so. All right. Our scripture reading will come from Titus 1:1. And if you have your book, if you have your Bible or computer or whatever, and you have opened it, and you have found the place, say amen. Okay. Okay, Titus chapter 1, verse 1, and I'm reading from my notes. Paul, a bondservant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God, elect, and the knowledge of the truth, put a pin on that one, okay, kind of like highlight that right there. Which according to godliness, definitely put a pin on that one. In hope of eternal life, put a pin on that one. Which God, who cannot lie, put a pin on that one. Promised before time began, verse 3, but in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandments of God our Savior. This is Paul talking to Titus. And Titus is in Crete. But before I go any further, let me give all glory, honor, and praise to God for allowing me to be here and for allowing the pastor to put faith in me to teach the word, preach the word, say the word, let God use me in some kind of way to help me and enhance my knowledge of the word as well. So I would like to thank the pastor for, and God mainly, because I'm supposed to give him all the glory, honor, and praise. So tonight, I'm going to do my best to give my God and my Lord all the glory, honor, and praise. But like I said, I'd like to thank the pastor of this church for allowing me to stand behind this pulpit. You know, it takes a lot of faith for somebody coming off the street. I mean, you know, for him to allow somebody coming off the street and stand behind his pulpit. If it was me, I think I would probably do the same thing. But I'd like to thank God, and I'd like to thank each and every one of you, friends, family, members, for being here. You all my family. You've been my family for the last several years. And if you know what I mean, brotherly family, brotherly type family. So I thank you for the inspiration that you give on a daily basis. I thank you for all that you do in my life, because truly, you have truly been an inspiration to me. So thank you. Tonight, we're going to be talking about godliness. And I'm going to go ahead and give it a title, but I hate giving it a title because I have a tendency to kind of like veer off course, but I'm going to be obedient to the Lord, and when I get lost, I'm going to read. So if you allow me, until I get to that level that where I don't have to look at this anymore, that's where I want to be. But the title is, What is Godliness and Its Relationship with God? And I'm going to tell you where I got that title from. Some of you should know. Anybody taking grace notes? You don't have to raise your hand. Anyone taking grace notes? Never heard of it. Okay. This is where I got my title from, because I'm taking grace note. And Lewis knows that I've been working on this for 3 months, four, almost 6 months, because I haven't gotten past godliness, my essay on godliness. So I said, why not talk? When Pastor Bob gave me the opportunity to teach on something, I picked godliness. And in the Grace Note essay, it says that 20 minutes. Now, I can do 20 minutes. An hour, it's going to be kind of hard. But the essay says 20 minutes on godliness and what is the relationship to God. And before I forget, because I got to give praise to God because he gave me this. He gave me this morning. And it was something that was deep inside of me that I did not want to forget this. And the question to you is, do you, and I'll give you the answer later, because it's going to come somewhere in my teaching tonight. Do you think God wants to destroy us, the wicked? Do you think he really wants to destroy the wicked? Do you think he would like to have a relationship with the wicked? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I see some head. Yes, he would like to have a relationship. God has always had his hands out to man. Always had his hands out to man. But man has always denied God. Why? It's in the word. Because number one, they are being blinded. They are being blinded by the enemy, the adversary, the accuser. You know who I'm talking about, right? They are being blinded because they are of this world. I'm not of this world anymore. I want to be of God's world. I'm not in this world anymore. I don't want to do the things that I used to do. I want to do godly things, godliness things in my life. And you should want to as well. In everything you should do, it should be godliness. Giving praise, glory, and honor to God. Now, before I go any further, let me define godliness for you. And I'm not taking credit because some of this came out of Grace Notes. So I'm not plagiarizing. I'm just letting you know. I took it out of Grace Notes. The word godliness comes from the Greek word eusebia. In the Strong's Concordian, it is number 2150. It is in there 15 times in the New Testament. 15 times. Now, Grace Notes, and I'm not trying to knock Grace Notes. Grace Notes says 14, but it is in the New Testament 15 times. And I'm going to explain to you why in a minute. The word means piety, holiness, the quality of being devoutly religious. Is that you? Is that I? I'm trying to get there. I'm almost there. I'm not perfect yet. No one is perfect because we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But we are perfect through Jesus Christ, through the blood of Christ. Being conformed to the law and, I'm sorry, let me start over. The quality of being devoutly religious, being conformed to the law and the wise and the wisdom of God. In the epistle to Titus, chapter 1, verse 1, the apostle Paul, a servant of our Lord Jesus Christ, stated it as being called to the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, that leads to godliness. So in order for us to have a relationship with God, we have to be holy, set apart, a devout, religious person, and we must have piety in us. That is the way to create a relationship with God. That's what he wants us to do. And if you come to him as a sinner, whatever, now this is the word, and I'll put my life on it. If you confess your sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive you. That's all the wicked or the unbeliever have to do. That's all he has to do. He is faithful. A loving God, merciful, kind, just. And that word, you need to be careful with just, because let me tell you something. You might think you're getting away with something, but he is just to serve his justice upon those that he loves. And he loves us all. He cares for us all. He wants us all to be in heaven with him. I was watching a movie. Well, I can't tell you where. I was given a movie to watch, and it was called Rapture. It was called Rapture. If you get the opportunity, look it up on YouTube. And I watched the whole movie, and I was shocked. The question was asked, it was a Sunday. The question was asked, if the rapture happened today, where would you be? What would happen to you? What would you do? Will you hear the trumpet sound? Will you be caught up in glory? Or will you be sitting in the pew? Where would you be? These kids were playing basketball on a Sunday morning. The rapture hit. And they had a church environment. The pastor, the assistant pastor, and the pews was filled, and then all of a sudden, whew, those that believe was caught up in glory. And then in the pews here, they had clothes there, clothes there, clothes there, clothes there, clothes there, and then they had a few people here and there. And you should have seen them. They was all screaming, Lord, I did this, I did that. What was your motive? What did you do? Did you believe? That's the key. Because you must believe in the Son of God. And if you don't believe in him, what glory do you have? So the picture that I'm trying to show you right now is, where would you be? Are you a believer? And I hope someone out there is listening. This is not for me. This is something that I, you know, that I gathered in the shower this morning. I told everybody else about it, but I kid you not. The word of God came to me in the shower, but I just didn't get out in time enough to write it all down. So the most important thing that I'm trying to get you to see is this. God does not want anyone to perish, especially the wicked. And we're going to go over Ezekiel. Matter of fact, I'm going to show you. Let's do Ezekiel. Go to Ezekiel chapter 18. And, chapter 18. Around that 23rd verse. Come on now. These computers, laptops and everything. I should have went there first. Well, if all else fails, go to a reliable, the Bible. Go to Ezekiel chapter 18, and here's my notes. Chapter 18, verse 23. All right, 23. Listen what it says. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? That's the word of God. No. He wants to have a personal, intimate relationship with you, a godly person. Someone's after his own heart. That is who he's trying to. We're already saved. We need to get the unbelievers to believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. We need to get them to believe in Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, today, I don't see it. Maybe because I have grown more in Christ-like in grace. I don't see it. I see children disrespectful to their parents just the other day. Young kid, not older than, I mean, not even 10 years old, not older than my grandson, told his mother, stay out of my business. And I wanted to jump up and just jump. I wanted to jump up and just jump. And everybody think that's cute. It's not cute. He's going down the wrong path. He sees no light. That's what he's learning off of this news, television, and all these other things. And I'm saying, you're too young to be knowing stuff like that. Turn the television off. Or whoever he's hanging around, move him from there. And as Christians, here we go. As in a Christian life, we're not supposed to hang out in that type of environment. We're supposed to be in a godly type of environment at all times. Because we might get corrupt in the gossip. You can fall into that trap, believe me. The gossip, the backbiting, and things like that. Next thing you know, you're trapped. And then all of a sudden you say, oh, Lord, Lord, please forgive me. But like I said, he is faithful and just. Because, number one, backbiting in a church and gossip or any type of environment, family environment, school environment, in the gym environment, work environment, it will destroy an organization. That's not godly. It's not godliness. We are supposed to stay away from that. Ezekiel. The point was that God does not want to see anyone or the wicked perish. He has no pleasure in it. Verse 32, and he emphasizes again. Check this out. Verse 32. He emphasizes again. For I have no pleasure in the death of him that died, said the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourself and live ye. I'm reading from the King James volume. What does turn mean? Repent. Repent. Turn around. Change your mind. Change your mind. Change your lifestyle. Change your clothes. Change your hairdo. Change. Turn around to the Lord. And he is faithful and just to forgive you and take you in. Okay, that was one of the key things that I wanted to highlight because God led me to that. Now, the knowledge in Titus chapter 1, we're going to go back to the part where I told you to put a pin on it, the knowledge of the truth. The knowledge of the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, what is the knowledge of the truth? Anyone have any idea? Oh, okay. Sound like you're speaking a little bit of Greek there. If you allow me, turn to Timothy, chapter 2 Timothy chapter 2:25. Okay, let's go there. Can we go there? Timothy. Come on. Timothy. 25. I'm sorry. You know what these computers. Okay, I'm there. Chapter 25. I'm sorry. Second Timothy, chapter 2:25. Yes, ma'am. If you dare, say amen. Okay, but I'm going to go up to this. If you don't mind, let's go up to the 24th verse 24. And we're going to go all the way down to the 26th. And we're still talking about godliness as well. Or the knowledge of the truth. I'm sorry, the knowledge of the truth. Are we there? Okay. Reads as follows. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, which I mentioned earlier, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient. And here's the kicker, verse 25. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition. And here's another kicker. If God perhaps will grant them repentance. It's up to God to grant us repentance. So that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape. This is something I emphasized earlier. And that they may escape the snares of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Let me give you a good example of how there's no comparison with God and Satan. They far, far different. But let me give you something about Satan, which you should already know. Have you ever heard of the prophet Job? You know what happened to him, right? Would God do? God allow Satan. God, listen to me. God allowed Satan to do all that he could to Job, but he could not touch his soul. Would you want to follow someone that's trying to destroy you? Why would you want to follow? I'm using Job as an example because out of all the things that Satan did to Job, he took everything from him. He had no compassion, nothing in common with God. But God allowed it because God knew Job. He knew him, that he would not curse him. But what I'm trying to get you to see is that you have the unbelievers, they're following the darkness of Satan. And the only thing he's trying to do is seek, kill, and destroy. And if you keep on falling into his snare, he will keep on blinding you to this world, that there's another world that we must go into. A world of eternal life, another kingdom, a world of eternal life. This is only the first death. There's a second death. And I prefer to be in the death with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to inquire of his sanctuary, to praise and sit and kneel at his throne and ask him all the questions that I have right now about why did this happen? Why did this happen? Or could you have done this or done that? No. God's knowledge is far beyond ours. He knows what you need. He knows what you don't need. You might think you need something. And you might pray about it. Say, Lord, please help me with this situation. God said, no. Mm-mm. My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for you. No, you don't need that. If you don't answer, persevere. Keep going. Keep going, because there's something better at the end of the tunnel that he has for you. And in order for you to get there, he got to teach you something along the way. Because sometimes we can say, no, Lord, I'm not going to listen to you. And I'm using myself as an example. He will tell you, he will give you a sign and tell you, no, that's not for you. And you say, Lord, bless it anyway. Bless it anyway. Okay. And then all of a sudden, you'll see the snowball. It's going downhill. He was trying to tell you here, no, I got something better for you. I have something in store. My mercy and my grace I have in store for you. I don't want to see you in pain, my brother. I don't want to see you in pain, my sister. But anyway, let's go on back. Let's go back. Okay. The point that I was trying to make, Satan tried to keep us in the dark. He deceives us with everything he does. You think you're getting ahead, but you're not. God is above all. He sees all. He knows all. So, just remember, Satan has nothing for you. God has everything for you. Only thing you have to do is just persevere. Whatever you do, don't do anything ungodly. Just stay in the grace and the peace of God. Okay? The knowledge of the truth. Turn to John, Gospel of John 17:3. And how I got to this point, I went through a couple more. I think it was 1 Timothy 2 and 4, but don't quote me on it. Go to John. And Jesus, I thought this was very profound. I thought this was very enlightening. When Jesus was praying, go to John chapter 17, verse 3. Are you there? Okay. This is Jesus praying, right? You see all that red? That's a lot of red. That's a lot of praying. Can you pray that long? Really, can you pray that long? Seriously, can you pray that long? I don't think so. That's a long prayer. I mean, he was deep into the Father. He loved his Father. And he would do anything for his Father. Matter of fact, he would do anything for us. For him to lay down his life for his friends, which you and I, that's an amazing accomplishment, ladies and gentlemen. And if we deny him, I mean, you know, for him to give up his life for sinners like us, that's an amazing thing. I mean, you know, it really is. Okay, verse 3, and it reads as follows. I'm sorry. And I want you to focus on eternal life. Now let's start at the top. Verse 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your son also may be glorified and glorify you. Verse 2, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. Look at that. That's what our salvation is about, ladies and gentlemen. Eternal life. And in order, okay, let me stop. Eternal life, and that's the key. And then he goes on, he explains what is eternal life. It says, as you have given him. Verse 3, this is eternal life. This is eternal life. He's defining it. That they may know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. If you don't know him, he has no part of you. So how can you know him if you're not walking in the light? You must know Jesus Christ to receive eternal life. That's why I was telling you that in order for us to have a relationship with God, we must have a personal relationship with God for us to have eternal life. An intimate relationship. That is my definition. And I'm trying to get to know him as much as I can. And you should too. So just remember, in order for you to, that is eternal life, and it is a personal relationship with God. Now this is what my note had, I'm sorry. Eternal life is more than an endless existence. It is more than an endless existence. It is a personal relationship with God. Eternal life. Okay, let's go back to Titus. And we're going to break this on down. Go back to Titus, chapter 1. Okay, we're going to go to the part where it says, according to godliness. According to godliness. And when I cross-referenced this, this took me to 1 Timothy chapter 3, 16. So if you would go there, please. First Timothy chapter 3. Verse 16. Are we there? All right. And it goes like this. Chapter 16. But I'm going to go up to 15. Let's go up to 15. The title of it is The Great Mystery. The Great Mystery. These things I write to, Paul writing to Timothy. These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself. Put a pin on conduct. Conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillars and the ground of truth. The pillars are the support. The ground is the foundation. And here's the kicker. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, or great is the mystery of Christian religion. And let's break this down right quick. Everything that I'm about to tell you, you probably have already been through it once before, but to me, it's not a mystery to me anymore. It's just a mystery if you don't want to know it. He said that it's a controversy. Controversy only stirs up trouble. That's where I look at it. But anyway, it goes like this. God was manifested in the flesh. I'm going to break that down for you. God was manifested in the flesh. So if you go to John 1:14, which I'm already there in my book, it reads as follows. You don't have to go there if you want to, but I'll read it to you. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, Jesus Christ. Is it a mystery? I don't think so. It's not a mystery. We should all know that. Justified in the Spirit. Justified in the Spirit. Let me stop. Okay. We're going to stay with God was manifested in the flesh. The next verse is going to be 1 Peter 1 and 20, because we're going to confirm this all the way through. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. Verse 21, who through him believed in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, if I didn't say that. Next verse, we're going to confirm with the manifestation of the flesh. It's going to be 1 John 1 and 2. 1:1-2. The word of life, the life was manifested, and we seen and bear witness. This is Pete. This is John talking. He was an eyewitness to the glory of Jesus Christ, and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That is 1 John 1 and 2. 1 John 1 and 3, 1 John 3 and 8, and 1 John, let's go to 1 John 3 and 5 first. See if I got that right. Yeah, 1 John 3 and 5. Are you there? And you know he was manifested. The key word is manifested. He was made known, right? He was made known, all right? And you know he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. 1 John 3 and 5. 1 John 3 and 8. He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. It's no mystery anymore. It's not a mystery anymore. Next line, justified in the Spirit. And I'm running out of time, I think. Justified in the Spirit. Go to Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. And then once you, I'm going to go ahead and give you the other one. Go to Romans 1 and 4, but we're going to do Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. Justified in the Spirit. We're going to start at that 16th verse, Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Now, this is a. I can dig into this one. Are you there? When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, heaven was opened to him. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alight upon him. Verse 17, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. John the Baptist. This is the part in John the Baptist when John baptized him. And then John had told Jesus, said, you baptize me. He said, no, let it be so that you baptize me, Jesus. Remember, that is like that is symbolic of them. And actually, to me, it was symbolic to them in the womb. When Mary and Elizabeth, when they leaped in the womb, to me, that was symbolic of that situation in that time. John and Jesus coming together again, and they leap. But the thing about it, the testimony came from heaven. It didn't come from man. It came from heaven. The Spirit, God testified of his Son. Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 1, verse 4. Romans chapter 1, verse 4. Are you there? And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness for the resurrection from the dead. It's not a mystery anymore. Justified in the Spirit. It's not a mystery anymore. It's not a controversy anymore. But the Bible says it's a controversy. That's what the Bible say. So I'm going by what the Bible say. Seen by angels. Seen by angels. Matthew 28 and 2. Matthew 28 and 2. Seen by angels. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. Y'all recognize that event in the Bible? Mary running to the tomb to see if Christ was there. You know, I gave the sermon a while back, and I gave it, the sermon that I had given it, it wasn't here, it was at another church. They missed the memo. Mary now missed the memo. They did. He said he wasn't going to be there, right? He said he was going to, in 3 days, I'm gone. And they went, they was preparing all the little ointments and everything to sanctify his body and all of that. They missed the memo. He wasn't there. So all that they had done, it was for nothing. And they looked in. The angel sitting there and said, who are you looking for? He's not here. Go back and tell your brothers that, hey, we'll see him over in Galilee or somewhere. They missed the memo. He told them. But they still went to look. Okay, all right, he's gone. Okay, all right, I missed the memo. But anyway, that's the sermon that I gave on that one a long time ago, that they missed the memo. Okay, the next one, preach among the Gentiles. Preach among the Gentiles. Ooh, man, this is talking about me right here. Acts 10 and 34, I like this one. Talks about Cornelius, I think. Yes, it does. Oh, man. Preach among the Gentiles. Acts 10 and 34. Are you there? All right. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God has no partiality. Cornelius, one of the first to receive the gospel. Isn't that something? One of the first of the Gentiles to see the gospel. He heard him and his whole household. You know, that's amazing. If you can get your whole household on the same accord, man, you want me to tell you something? You're cooking with gas. I mean, you really are. You don't have to worry about anything. Okay, hey, all right. Martha, go over there. Fix this. Oh, I'm too busy with this. Jesus is here. No, you have too much going on. Mary is inquiring of all the things that she wants to inquire about Jesus and everything. But they received the gospel. They received the gospel that everything that we're talking about right here, about Jesus Christ, that what we're supposed to preach to the churches throughout the nations and stuff like that. This is what we're supposed to preach, where people can believe that he was resurrected from the dead. That was proof that he was going to come back and resurrect the dead as well, to receive him to himself. This is not controversy. I mean, this is truth. This is life. This is light. But anyway, Cornelius and his whole household received the gospel that day. And they were blessed. But you remember, Peter didn't want to go. You remember he didn't want to go? You know, I hear so many people talking about Peter, how bad he is and stuff like that. But one of the tears I like Peter, because when I was in Catholic faith, I took his name, Peter. And the reason why I took his name, because I denied the Lord God 3 times when he asked me to come. I denied him 3 times. But one of the tears he was faithful and just to forgive me. He didn't hold it against me. He didn't hold it against Peter. He knew Peter. He said, Peter, how much do you love me? Isn't that something? He said, how much do you love me? He said, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Isn't that beautiful? I forgive you, Peter. When he was on the cross, stretched out. Sinners on both sides. You'll be with me in paradise. I don't know where you're going to be. I mean, you know, really. Really, you'll be with me in paradise. He confessed to Jesus Christ on the cross you'll be with me in paradise. And that's where we should all, that's, you know what? That's where we should always try to set our goals, to be in paradise. No motives behind it. Just do it naturally. Not looking to earn anything out of it. Just doing good works. That's all you need to do. Okay. Sorry about that. Did I go to Romans 10 and 18? No, I didn't. Go to Romans 10 and 18. Preach among the Gentiles. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sounds have gone out all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Isn't that a blessing? Before the beginning of time, God had this plan for us. At the beginning of time. Isn't that amazing? Our God could know that we would be sitting here tonight. Before the beginning of time, he knew exactly what he was going to do. He knew exactly what Satan was going to do. And he has always been light years before him. And he haven't seen it yet. But want me to tell you something, my brothers and sisters? He's trying to take as many out as he can. And want me to tell you something? He's doing a good job of it. That's why we should pray for all men, that they may receive the blessing of the Lord, that they may receive and open their eyes to the grace of God, that they may receive salvation through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We should pray for all men. I don't know what you're going to pray for, but just pray. Pray. You know what? Best thing to pray for? Peace. Just pray for peace. Quiet peace. That all men would be able to love one another. Let me see. Okay, that was 18. Romans 18. Okay. The next one is believe on in the world. Romans 16:26. Romans 16:26. Believe on in the world. But now made manifest and by the prophet scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandments of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith. For obedience to the faith. Next one is 2 Corinthians 1:19. That was believe in the world. We're believing in the world. Wow. Are you there? Second Corinthians 1:19. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes or no, but in him was yes, Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:6. Colossians 1:6. And stay in Colossians 1:23. Are you there? Which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is being for fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. That's Colossians 1:6. 1:23. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, came to minister. Listen to this. That is the key right there. Preach to every creature under heaven. God is trying to touch everyone. He's given everyone the opportunity to come to him, to have fellowship with him. And I heard Pastor Bob say something the other day, and it kind of startled me. He said he's waiting on that one person. You remember that? Anybody remember that? But anyway, he said he's waiting on that one person. I said, man, I wonder who that one person is. Maybe we should all go get him and say, hey, you know, if we can find him, come on. Let's go. Hey, the rapture, come on now. Let's go. Come on. What are you doing? What are you waiting for? Let's go. Get your clothes. Let's go. You don't need them anyway. Shoot, you're going naked. Naked you came in this world, naked you shall leave. You're leaving out of here. Okay, come on, let's go. Let's go. Get the clothes. Come on, let's go. But anyway, receive up in glory. We all know that he was received up in glory, right? Jesus Christ. It's not a mystery. It's not a mystery anymore. He was received up in glory. Ascension. All right. Coming from Luke 24, 51 and 52. He was received up in glory. Wow. That's amazing. Are you there? Because I think I have about 10 minutes. Receive up in glory. Luke chapter 24, 51. And he led them out as far as Bethel. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Poof, he's gone. The same way he left, you're going to see him coming back again. But this time you're going to hear a trumpet. If you don't hear that trumpet, then something's wrong. Okay, this is my last one, okay? We're going to go back to Titus. I want you to go back to Titus. And then we're going to close out. But I have a lot more, really. I didn't think it would. Actually, I thought it was going to take all of this, really. Go back to Titus. And we're going to go to the part that where it says that, verse 2, in hope of eternal life with God who cannot lie. Where's the proof of that? How do we know God cannot lie? No, I need proof. But he did say so. I agree with you. He did say that, right? You remember the story of Balaam and Balak? Yeah. You remember that? Okay, let me show it to you. Numbers 23 and 19. You know, you can't curse what God has blessed. You know that? If you ever try to curse what God blessed, God would bless it. He would multiply the blessing. Isn't that amazing? We got a faith for God. If he says it, will he not do it? Y'all heard that before, right? Okay, Numbers. I'm not even there. Wow. Numbers chapter, 23 and 19? Come on, computer. And then we're going to be out of here. I'm sorry. 23, 19. Y'all, have you ever heard this? Have you ever been taught this one before? You know what? I'm with a smart congregation, man. Woo. I'm with a smart congregation. Can't pull nothing over you. Okay. God is not a, verse 29, Numbers chapter 23. Let me get serious. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. And plus it calms me down if I'm like this anyway. It really does. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie. A testimony. If he said, will he not do it? Did he promise Abraham, you will have descendants like the sands of the seashore? If you can count the stars, it'll be more than the stars. If you can count the sand, I'm saying, man, descendants, if you can count the sand, no, there's no way. I can imagine Abraham sitting out there, stars, 1, 2, 3. I can imagine him doing that. I can imagine what God the relationship that they had together, all of the prophets and all of the man of God, what type of relationship they had, a one-on-one conversation, things like that. And God would tell them. Elijah was amazing. I mean, he really was. He was an amazing man. Lord, let me go back and take care of Ahab and Jezebel. God said, no, get the Zarephath. I need to take care of Widow Woman. But Lord, I can do this. I got something else for you to do. That's why God's wisdom is better now. Because listen, you remember what Elijah did? What he had told Ahab and Jezebel? For 3 years and 6 months, there will be no rain or dew. 3 years and 6 months? That's a long time without rain. You're going through a famine and a drought during that time. But we all depend on the enemy to try to get us the thing that God is providing us. And that is wrong. God, God provides everything for us. I don't care what kind of necklace you wear, what kind of idol you worship. That idol can't do nothing. God would just flip it over. You put him in the same room with God, God flip over, you go. And you'll come back in, and he broke up, and then you got to put him back together again. You know what? You flip God over, he's going to stand right back up like a Cheerio. He's going to stand right back up. We got an awesome God. He's amazing. He's fantastic. I mean, there's no words to describe him on how loving and kind that he is. If you ask him, he'll give it to you. If you're worthy, and if you have the right motive, and if it's something good for you. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to close. And in closing, this is what I had that I wanted to make sure that I didn't forget. Turn to Matthew 25, chapter 25, and in closing. And I'm going to show you how God is, because he, you know, Matthew chapter 25. Anyone know this verse? I was hungry. Man, I was hungry. Are you there? Matthew chapter 25, 35 through 40, and it reads as follows. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked. I didn't have any clothes on. And you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. If you did it to them, you did it for Jesus. Let's all pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity that I had tonight. I pray, O Heavenly Father, that your word has went out and it has not come back void, dear Lord. When I feel comfortable with you, Lord, I feel like that I'm on top of the world, especially when you're talking to me and giving me everything that I need to say. But Lord, I thank you, O Heavenly Father, for everyone that came out tonight, and I hope they receive the grace and the peace that you so provide on a daily basis. As we go on our way, dear Lord, give each and every one of us traveling grace to our destination. In Christ's name, let the church say, amen.